Mind Games is back. Well, Mind Games Winter. I honestly changed what I was kind of planning on doing during the month of January while I was recording this episode. I think that during January, I can do what I did during the summer, where I just do some solo content. And in this month, I'll have enough time to really plan and prepare for season three. Unfortunately, season two ended a little abruptly, but hopefully season three will go off without a hitch. And we will be back as the full format show probably right after Genesis. The format will be a little different, and we'll discuss that on the first episode or a little prior to. But for now, enjoy my first episode back doing solo work with Bonesaw 577. Hello, hello. Today I am joined by Bonesaw 577, streamer, cosplayer, actor, writer, and now game designer. What's up, Bonesaw?
Not too much. What's up with you, man?
I'm good. Just dealing with robots.
God damn it, Craig.
Damn it, Craig. What are you doing, Craig?
Leave, Craig.
That is actually the command, and if Craig leaves, this all goes to shit.
This is all over. It's all over.
So, technical issues that we've dealt with aside, if you've been following the show, I had Bonesaw on back in, I think, March, maybe early April, with Patty and Spike Vegeta. But the format is obviously a little different now. It's not live. This is just audio.
Just audio.
It's great.
But we're doing it live right now.
I mean, we're doing it live, but
nobody else is doing it live.
No one else is hearing it live.
That's right.
When I told Mystic that I was gonna record this, he's just like, "Oh shit, when can I tune in?" I'm like, "You can't yet. Sorry, man."
Yeah, what? Sorry, dude.
His reasoning was he wanted to be snarky in chat. He's just like, "I just want to be like sarcastic in chat."
Aw. He doesn't get that opportunity now.
He has to be so serious.
He does.
So, you rang in the new year with a new world record in Siren 2. How do you think that bodes for 2019?
Oh, man. That's probably the best luck I'm going to have all year. And I just spent it all on the second day. So, yeah, we'll see how the rest of it goes, I guess. I'm not really expecting too much now, though.
Gotta keep your hopes high. It's going to be a good year. 2019, I mean, how is 2018? Can 2019 be worse than 2018?
No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it'll find a way. I'm not sure. We'll just have to wait and see, man. We're only day three into it, so we'll just have to wait.
362 days left. Let's go.
That's right. Bring it on.
So how was 2018 for you? What were some highs and lows in the year?
Some highs and lows. Well, the highs were pretty good. Most of the highs of 2018 happened like on stream. I got a lot of subscribers during the year. It was pretty great for my channel's community anyway. And it was a pretty good year in terms of speedruns and stuff like that. Played a lot of cool games that I had never played before. I started playing games like out of the Metal Gear Solid series, which was a lot of fun. Those were games that I just never touched before. And they turned out to be some of the best gaming experiences that I had ever like had the opportunity of like playing through and experiencing. And considering the lows of 2018, I don't know. I think most of them just happened off stream. It was just a lot of shitty people that I had to deal with. Considering the fact that I am now considerably older than any student that first, you know, starts college.
Yeah.
And seeing as I went back to college and everybody's like super young and I'm like in my mid-20s now, I don't know, you just see the world a whole lot more differently, I guess.
I know that feeling. all too well as a 25-year-old dude who was taking a bunch of freshman classes this last term. I was just like, oh God.
Like, was I really like this?
Yeah.
Did I go through this?
Was I, like, I know I was like an ornery little shit even when I was 18 years old, but I was like, was I really this self-absorbed?
Sometimes, man, you just wonder, like, did you go through the same things that these very young children in college are going through? It's a little scary.
It really is. So, no, that was definitely a shock to my system for a good bit. I was just like, damn, I don't feel comfortable, like, interacting with these people. I feel like I'm a generation older than them.
Believe me, it's still a shock, and I've been with them for about a year and a half now. It doesn't get any easier.
Oof. Thank God that I just have, like, I have one 25, or he's 27, I guess, now. He just turned 27, but I have one older friend, and that's, it's doing me as good as I can get right now.
Yeah, that's the same with me. I have, like, he just turned 27 as well. It's like my only friend in the entire class, only because we're in the same generation together, pretty much. So
exactly. So with all that behind us, because kind of fuck 2018 in a sense,
thank God.
2018 was a rough one. What do you have as kind of your goals? I don't want to say the R word, but your overall goals for 2019.
Well, we're not going to dive into the R word because I don't like that either. And every time I use it, it never works. So,
ding, ding, ding.
I think what I want to do for 2019, outside of the stream in particular, is I definitely want to get back into the gym way more. And I think that's sort of like everybody's, I don't know, R word.
Yeah.
In the new year. But for me, it's definitely something that I want to do. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I'm hoping to just generally stick with it longer, you know. Definitely just try to stay away from a whole bunch of negative stuff in 2019 as well, and not let anything affect me over prolonged periods of time like they did in 2018. And definitely on stream, I want to stream a lot more. I want to dedicate more time to, like, building the community and stuff like that, and play more games that, like, I haven't played but everybody has played. Definitely more like Metal Gear Solid, a few more classic games, you know, and develop this new game that I'm developing now to the best of my ability, and really concentrate on, you know, putting out a good product and videos that people will want to watch and animate and cosplay more, all that good stuff.
So just as a note for any listeners, if you look in the description for this or on Twitter, I will have linked Bonesaw's channel and all of the various links that are necessary to join the Bonesaw community.
Ooh, the Bone Zone.
The Bone Zone. So before we get into Haunt, I want to ask one quick question. Have you played the Batman Arkham series?
No, I have not. That has been a series that has been recommended to me a few times. And I think that would probably be a really good playthrough.
I mean, I love those games. I love those games so goddamn much. They are fantastic, like, dark Batman games, and they have all the best voice actors, so.
And it looks like it plays the same as the new Spider-Man game, which I really enjoyed, so.
Yep. Basically the same fighting style.
Nice. Yeah, that would be something that I would be down for playing. And playing the rest of the Resident Evil series is also something that I want to play through, because most of those games I haven't played through. I've played 2, but I've never beaten it. And I played 4, and I have beaten it, and I really liked it. So I'd like to see what the other ones are all about as well.
Do you remember the day that, I think you had it as bit incentives to play all the Metal Gear Solid games.
Oh, yeah. I still have them all written down, the ones I still need to do. I still have a lot of them.
Do you remember what day that was? I feel like that was like ages ago, but knowing 2018, it was probably nowhere near as long as I think it was.
Oh, that was a pretty long time ago, because I played through the first three games, and I think that was in the summer, I'm pretty sure, was when I was getting through all those. That was a long time ago now, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but 2018, when I think about 2018, I'm like, man, are you sure that was in 2018? Are you sure that wasn't 2017? No, that was like 3 weeks ago. Oh, fuck.
It's just all a blur now. It's that's all my life is. It's just a blur.
That was 2018.
Pretty much.
So you mentioned you are making a game. Another thing that'll be linked in the description and on Twitter.
Heck yeah.
Haunt.
Yes.
I have my questions, but tell us what you want to tell us about the game right now.
What I want to tell you about Haunt. Well, I wanted to make a game that really stirs up feelings of like dread and awfulness, and I want it to be genuinely scary and to leave a very, very lasting impression. Kind of like, I don't know, older horror games left on you as a kid or something like that, you know? Like the days when you were just getting to the cusp of your teenage years and your parents were finally allowing you to play something like Silent Hill or Resident Evil or something like that. Something that you were not allowed to play as a child. And those feelings of being scared at something on the screen just genuinely stuck with you for all of these years through the rest of your life. I genuinely wanted something that would, you know, really leave a very, very lasting impression, something that you would remember for a long time or would, you know, just genuinely scare you or get you to tell, you know, somebody else about the experience that you had. And I feel like right now I'm heading down a road with the game where, in a sense, it's kind of like the second Silent Hill game. Like, it may not look all that impressive, like there's not next-gen, you know, textures or graphics or anything like that. It's just, it's more about telling a very, very unique story, but a story that is pretty disturbing, but also has a lot of redeeming qualities if you're a god gamer and you can play the game really well.
So it sounds like as an idea, you've been clearly like fleshing this out for quite some time.
Oh yes. Yes. When, for a very long time.
When did you kind of come up with that, the basic idea or even this desire to make a game that has that long lasting impression?
I've had very many ideas for this game. I don't know. It spans about 5 years, I believe. I was initially just having like bits and pieces of, I don't know, various ideas of what I wanted the game to look like, what I wanted it to feel like. And it usually came from listening to like music. It came from watching other scary movies, or not even necessarily scary, just scary movies, like action movies, stuff like that. Came from playing other video games and following other game developers on Twitter and their ideas. And it also came from a lot of life experiences that I was having at the time. I was traveling a lot. I lived in Japan for quite some time. It basically stemmed from everything that I was doing at the time, but I really didn't have a clear vision in my mind until I came home from Japan and I started talking to a really good friend of mine. She's an artist. I started talking to her about the idea and I had voiced my concerns and I said, well, I really have no idea where I'm going with this, but it's an idea that I've had for such a long time because usually I'm the kind of guy that will start like a story or a project or a video or something, and then I get to a point where I just stop working on it altogether, and all of a sudden I have like 100,000 unfinished projects. But this was an idea that had actually stayed with me for all of that time. And I found that I was just adding to it over and over and over throughout the years as it went on. And then when I got home, I think this was about like almost 2 years ago now that I've been home, I was finally, along with my friend who was giving me like some serious pep talks, writing what I wanted to have in the game. And I was finally starting to take ideas out, put ideas in, and starting to come up with a very clear narrative about what I wanted. And it was a very, very painful process to go through. Probably one of the hardest creative things that I've ever taken on in my life was writing like an entire game, basically, but over such a very prolonged period of time. It was very, very difficult.
So what are the things you clearly have this sense of this idea that you want to make that long lasting impression, and it's the way that the genesis of this project seems to go, I have to ask, what's the first kind of horror game that left a lasting impression on you, or even a horror scene?
Oh, the longest lasting impression I ever got was when I first got Siren, the video game. Now that was my first, I believe, my very, very first M-rated game, I'm pretty sure. And it was definitely my very first horror game. But that video game, playing through that, I believe I was 12 years old at the time when I got that game. And that left a serious impression on me because I thought the story was absolutely amazing. And the graphics for the time, they were so real and it was so creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just genuinely horrifying. And I was like, man, this is the kind of stuff that I want to grow up to do, you know, like I want to make something that leaves that impression on a kid that's probably too young to be playing this game. I want somebody like that one day on the internet to be like, I played this game when I was like 12 years old and man, I will never forget it. And that feeling is something that I just genuinely want to share with the rest of the world.
So you are actually the reason I know about Siren. And one of the things that I love about the game is that even when it seems like the game is kind of at a calm point, the ambiance, the way that the game looks and sounds and feels, even just to watch, still is scary. And so
For sure.
When you have those moments where like something attacks you or it cuts to the visual of one of the other villagers seeing you, it's so much more scary than just like jump scares.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly it. And I find there were times, I can't remember what game it was. I think it was Outlast. I'm pretty sure it was Outlast. I'm like a huge fan of horror games for sure, but it takes a lot for me to actually go and play a new one by myself of my own free will because I'm just so scared of playing those. But Outlast was a great experience in that the very beginning of the game when like nothing is happening, that was the scariest part for me, was because you're in this place and there's like all these weird people around, but none of them are doing anything. And it was the ambience, the environment. It was like the music, everything that contributed to it. And I thought that at any point, one of these people could just like jump on me, but none of them did. And it was, that part was so scary that it was so great. Like I absolutely loved it. But then as I went through the game and like getting attacked by that really, really big dude got more and more frequent, I was like, okay, now it's starting to lose it, you know? Like I'm losing that edge that it had. Because now I just come to expect, oh, the big guy's gonna come out. Now I need to look for like a vent to crawl through.
Yep.
Like now it's just starting to get super, super monotonous.
I think that the pacing, and this is I think something that a lot of Japanese horror games do well. They do pacing well. They do the pacing of the audio and the way it plays with the game, and they do the way that the game works. Like whatever the horror aspect of the game is, it feels like in Japanese horror games that pacing is more, it's more intentional, right?
Oh, they get it right for sure. They do really good at like I find that Japanese horror games in particular, they are the best at just dragging out those really long, intense moments where nothing is happening, but the possibility is there. They always take those moments and they just draw them out super, super long. But they do it in the best possible way to give you that really good experience, you know, that one that you pay for, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was the same thing with Siren. Like, 12-year-old me is just, like, running around in the darkness for a half an hour. And then as soon as I see somebody, it's pause game, turn game off. That's it. It's all over. Like, never playing this video game again. And then finally getting the courage to go on IGN and looking at the guide and being like, how do I get around this guy? Oh, so yeah. that was why like Siren had left me with that super, super good horror impression, was because unlike Outlast, it had so many ways that you could get around these things and not be seen and play it smart. Whereas I find horror games nowadays are always relying on, you can sneak, but as soon as you get spotted by one thing, then the entire map knows of your existence. And all of a sudden you're pulling out the big guns and you're just shooting everything, right?
Yeah, I think at that point I just want to shoot things and I don't want any horror aspects, which is why I still firmly believe that Doom is like one of the best shooters. The remake from 2016, best first person shooter.
I love that. Doom is absolutely great, only because I don't really consider it to be a horror game, but it's like one of the best adventure games ever. And you get that like rockin' music in the background when you're on like a, like just mowing everybody down, man, it's super satisfying. That game is just ultimately super, super satisfying.
So let's bring it back to Haunt, though.
Going off
in, you know, it, how much of the like influence of Japanese game makers, or I guess are there any Japanese game makers who you look to in terms of how you're thinking about this game, in terms of designing it, the characters, the way the story flows?
Oh man, I have a bunch of different like members of the Japanese horror game making community that I really, really like, and some of them are like just, you know, Japanese game makers in general, but I really like seeing all of the footage from Death Stranding and all that from Hideo Kojima, like reading up on his stories and all that, and seeing all of his like super motivational tweets and his Instagram posts and all that. It really, really helped me and inspired me in that way to just, you know, keep going. Because I remember seeing I believe it was an Instagram post, but it might have been a tweet from Hideo Kojima. I believe it was a tweet. And he said, I'm never, ever taking a break from being creative. Even when I'm asleep, I'm always being creative. And I thought that that was just like the most real thing, because it's the same thing that I do. Like, even when I'm just relaxing and chilling out, I'm always thinking of how I could give people a better experience through this game and through my writing, you know? So him, definitely, he's always like super motivational, and all of his works are definitely like it's art, you know? Like, video games in the general term are like art tools, and like all this stuff. People like Hideo Kojima use like all of their computers and their software and all of their art programs, everything. They're all tools to make these fabulous installations of art that like millions of people play every single day, you know? And it's used to give those specific feelings, you know? Like, it's meant to invoke those feelings of whatever they're trying to get across to their audiences. Like, people like Hidetaka Suihiro, who made Deadly Premonition. Like, I thought that game was super goofy and all that, but it had times where it was super real and it was super awesome. Like, of course, it's like the goofiest horror experience and like really monotonous and stuff like that. But man, he nailed some aspects of that, like some of the humanity in there, you know? It's a game that I believe deserves at least one playthrough. At least one. Maybe only one.
You said Deadly Premonition. I'm like, I that name sounds so familiar, and I look it up. Oh, good lord, I remember this.
I mean,
I don't know that I actually finished it. I think I may have rented it and just like, I don't really want to get it again. It's
fine. But I mean, I could totally tell what he was going for in his writing and stuff like that. Yeah. He still makes games, and he had one, I think it's The Missing was his newest one. I think it's been making its way to the top of some gaming sites because of its creative writing and all that. I've only really read up on it, but it seems pretty interesting. So him, people like Keiichiro Toyama, who made the first Silent Hill game, who made the Siren series, he's definitely a big influence on me. His writing and his team over there at Japan Studio, they're a bunch of very, very creative people. And people like Masahiro Ito, who made like art and concepts and all that for Silent Hill and stuff like that. Like, all these people have influenced this project for sure, because of just like what comes out, like what the product is, you know, whether it's their drawings or if they're making models for the games or if they're making the stories, you know, all of their works are super, super creative. And things that like no ordinary people would even begin to think about, like on the daily, you know, like a dude with a huge pyramid on his head with a big knife killing everybody. Man, that's some crazy stuff.
I mean, to this day, I still haven't finished Silent Hill 2, partially because I rented it when I was like 9, 8.
Oh my god.
No, big mistake.
Oh my god.
Not the first horror memory I have, but big mistake. The first one. By any chance, have you played Parasite Eve?
Yes, and I've seen other people play it as well.
So on one of the PlayStation demo discs that came with the system, there was like a Parasite Eve video. And I just remember seeing the cutscene of the rat with the flesh creeping up its nose. Fucked me up. That fucked me up.
Yeah, I remember I played Parasite Eve. Oh man, it was a long time ago, and I think it was on a demo disc. I'm pretty sure it was on demo disc, but that was the first time I had played it, like actually experienced it, and I was pretty young at the time, and it was, I don't know, it had kind of affected me. I remember having like nightmares.
Oh yeah,
about it.
Yep.
But I don't know. I found that since it was a game, you know, that was on a console that was pretty early on, and the graphics, you know, they weren't that great. I find that it didn't really affect me as much as, I don't know, like a game like Siren did that looks a little bit more realistic in a way.
Oh yeah.
I find it's like the really real stuff that gets you. But I mean, Parasite Eve, of course, it being one of my like very first like spots at horror was, I don't know, man. It did affect me for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I have gone back and played that, and it's not bad.
Oh man, I couldn't even play through Medieval. I remember I had that on a PlayStation demo disc.
Yep.
And I just couldn't play that game when I was a kid. I just couldn't do it. It was so scary to me. And now I could probably just beat it in one sitting if I wanted to, maybe.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that remake. But in terms of kind of like how the development of Haunt has been, what obstacles have you faced, and kind of how did you change your mindset to overcome those obstacles?
Oh man. Well, I wanted everything, like every single idea that I had, I wanted it to be in this game, you know, because I thought at the time that every idea that I had for it was great. And it was really, really hard to, like, because I mean, I do have OCD and I want everything to be absolutely perfect. And I want to do the best that I can every single time. So whenever I would have an idea that I would think is like remotely good, I'm always thinking, okay, well, how can I put that in there? But then I was starting to get ideas that were conflicting with the overall story. And I was like, okay, well, how can I rework that? How can I put that in there? And the story was definitely starting to suffer. And like I could tell because I was starting to drag behind. I was just starting to think, well, I can't fit that in there. What's the point of even going on? And then I would just let it go for like a month, not think about it. But then I would always come back to the story after that, and I would keep adding to it. And it was only until I actually sat down and started writing it and started talking to my friend about it. And she was the one who said, you know what? You just have to start. You just have to sit down and you just have to start writing it. And it's okay when you get a good idea to not put it in, or to just say, no, that's, if it conflicts with the story, we're not going to put it in there. And she was the one that really turned it all around for me, and the one that really got me to just say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start writing it right now. And that's what I did. And I just had to focus on one thing. And every time I got a new idea, just not waste a whole bunch of time going through and seeing if this one idea would work. I would just keep on working on the stuff that I already had. And then I would, maybe if I got to that part that I was thinking of, go back and try to put it in, but do it without so much thought that it was causing me, you know, like all this pain and anguish of thinking if, oh shit, do I really have to put that in there? Will it work? I just had to go, okay, this little part will work, this won't. Get rid of the rest. And to be honest, the biggest obstacle was just myself. I just had to stop overthinking it, and I just had to sit down and write out the story, and that was it. But yeah.
Have you ever started, you have the a story in mind, and you started building the game around it, and you just scrapped the engine because you didn't feel the engine itself was right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, that it might happen again. Or, like, what I'm looking for just isn't there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just have to suck up that loss, and you just got to keep on going. You got to start over. You have to do it again. But I find now that I'm just so far into it that I can't just stop now, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like now it's to the point where I'm not, like, I'm still kind of writing it as well, but I'm at the point now where I'm in.
You're in.
So I just got to keep going, you know?
What's the most you've ever had to kind of scrap or rethink?
Oh, shit. Well, the story over 5 years has gotten like hundreds of different rewrites. Like, I think I've rewritten the entire story like 100 times in my head. And I'm pretty sure across like 3 or 4 different computers, I have like, I don't know, at least 15 files that I've just started where I've just like started writing it one day and then I forget about it, or I think it's absolute shit and then I just don't touch it anymore. So I don't know. There's just been so many ideas that I've had to, that I thought, hey, this is really, really good. Let's put that in there. And like, I'm kind of struggling with one of those ideas right now. I have a really, really good idea for an enemy, but I have no idea how it's going to work. So I might have to scrap it. But in terms of the most that I've had to scrap, I'm really not sure. I think it's just been like level concepts and stuff like that. Or I start building a level and I think, okay, well, that's definitely not going to work. But then I am at the point now where I can just kind of take a break and then I go back to it and then I get a new idea and then I just start building off of that. And then a new level just sort of presents itself, you know, out of nothing, as if it almost kind of builds itself off of that. But I think the most that I've ever had to scrap in one sitting was I worked on a level, pretty sure it was for, I don't know, must have been like 6 hours or something like that. I was editing this level and none of it looked right at all to me when I was in there. And I just had to scrap it, had to just leave it. And I thought that was the most disappointing thing. But then at that point, I came up with a new idea almost immediately. And then the next day I started doing it and the level turned out to be super good. So I did have to scrap it, but I came back pretty strong, I believe.
How much, and I know this is going to be hard to quantify or even really describe, but how much do you think over the span of these last 5 years has the concept and the execution improved from where it initially started?
Oh, man. Like I said, the game is, it's completely different from when I had the very, very first idea, from when it's like inception actually occurred, you know? And yeah, it's very, very hard to quantify that because it took 5 years, right? Like, it took all that time to get to where it is right now. But I always had this image in my mind of what I wanted it to be. And I feel like that has not really changed at all. I still had an idea of what I wanted the intro movie to look like. I still had an idea of these very, very specific points in the story that I wanted. And those didn't really change a lot. But the characters themselves, they changed so much. I had so many different characters that I wanted to put in this thing. I had a completely different idea where there was going to be another character separate from the main four characters that I have in my trailer that was like directly, he was like right in the story. He was directly influencing these characters. And I had an entire story around this guy. And in fact, it was fleshed out more than the main four character stories were at the time. And I was spending all my time on this guy. And then one day I was just like, nope, it's not going to work. And then I totally scrapped the entire thing. And then it became what it is today. And then I started to actually focus on my main four characters who I figured were, you know, the most important. They were the shining face of the entire concept, you know, they needed to be worked on. And I find that now the story is so much better. And it's just, I'm keeping it simple with just these four characters. So now I can just focus on all of them individually. And I don't have to worry about anything kind of clouding or taking away from the main story that I want to tell, you know, because that's the main reason why I scrapped it in the first place. I didn't want anything taking away from the story that I wanted to tell.
So, what can you tell us about the story? Can you tell anything outside of what we know from the video, from the intro?
Yeah, I could tell you a little bit. Only because I find that... it's funny because about the trailer, I did give myself a deadline when I started my my winter break. And I said, I'm going to show you guys something by Christmas. Like, I'm getting to the point where... I've been writing this story for 5 years. It's gone through all these revisions. Now it needs something. I need to get something out there, something on the internet, something that people can watch and that they know that I'm actually working on it and it's actually becoming a thing. And so now I put out the trailer and it took me, like, no word of a lie, I spent about maybe 10 or 11 hours a day over a week and a half, 2 weeks working on this trailer. And I had initially wanted to put in like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of gameplay footage here and there, but I didn't get to it. All I got to was making the intro movie the best that I could, you know, that I could possibly make it. But so I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get to actually show you more of the story, but just from the trailer, so what happens is there's this boy named Daniel, and he is pretty much like the main protagonist of the entire game, but he lives a very kind of sheltered life in a house with his father on the outskirts of town. And what happens is that one day Daniel misses a baseball game that he was supposed to play in, and all of his friends get kind of worried, and they drive out like into the countryside to his house to go and get him or to find out what's wrong. And then when they get there, they find out that Daniel's father had actually attacked him and shot him. And I guess Daniel's father must have thought that he had done the job right, but he didn't, because, you know, Daniel's in a coma. He actually survives, and his father actually shoots himself and actually kills himself. But Daniel survives and he's taken to the hospital, and his friends, they kind of know, because earlier on in the story, and I guess I can kind of tell you this, is Daniel sort of has, he's kind of got like a special power, right? Like he can see things that ordinary people can't see. And his friends are really obviously like traumatized about this entire ordeal. And they go to the hospital and they figure out that they can, like, with the help of Daniel's power, can actually use it to go and like transcend the different planes of existence. You know, they say like we have the first plane is the mortal plane. The second plane is the astral plane, where you go after your physical death and then you go through all the different planes of existence. And like you go through and I don't know, atone for your sins and all that stuff and learn how to be a better person before passing on to the afterlife, right? Through the seven different planes of existence. But they go to the second plane of existence to find Daniel so that they can try to get him out, you know, try to lead him through the other planes of existence so that, you know, they can get him to the end, because he's stuck in this coma, right? And they have no idea what else to do. But when they get there, everything is in like disarray, like the afterlife is in disarray. Everything is like really creepy, kind of scary, you know, there's weird things all around. And if you actually look at like some of the literature about the planes of existence, some of that stuff that they write about it is pretty creepy, about like the denizens of each plane and things like that, and weird spirits and stuff. So I read and researched all of this stuff one day, and it got to be like the night, and I was just, it rolled around to like midnight or something like that, and I was reading up about it, and I was like getting the shivers. I was just like, oh, that's kind of weird. I could do something with that, you know. And there's a whole bunch of different crazy religious things and kind of like artifacts and stuff like that that I was playing around with in the story, and that actually really, really did work and really benefited the story. So I'm really excited to see what people will think of the environments once I actually get all of those fleshed out for the different planes of existence, because right now it's looking pretty good.
So if it's looking pretty good, when do you think we're gonna get to see some bits? Not even full images, just like you give us a small corner, just tease us.
Oh man. Well, I'm working on something right now to you know, because I really wanted to have sort of like a tiny gameplay trailer to go along with that intro. But I didn't have the time, and I didn't really want to sacrifice like all my time with my mother over the holidays, you know, just doing animation for like 10 or 11 hours a day, right? So I think once my schooling starts back up again, I might take like an hour a night and kind of make a little gameplay trailer just to show you some bits and pieces of the different worlds that I have planned and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm probably going to make a big video that's going to show off all of the different things that you can do in the game, not anything necessarily plot-wise, you know? But certain things like hidden collectibles that you can find, like some examples of that. The different kinds of movement, maybe like some weapons or something like that. Or I'm not sure. Maybe even some of the enemies too that you can fight. Some of the more obscure characters or some of the bosses maybe. So I'm thinking about doing a video like that too, but we'll see.
I'm sure the Bone Zone would love it.
I hope you all enjoy it.
It's, oh, we do. We do, we do, we do.
That's how you do.
So I think we are out of time, but I'd like to extend an offer, obviously. If you have anyone you want to thank, shout out, any plugs you want to do, do your thing.
Well, first off, for sure, I definitely want to, I owe this entire project to Jackface McGee on Twitter, because she was the one who convinced me to start writing it and to just go for it. So her art is amazing. She's helped me out with like sub emotes and stuff like that. She's an amazing friend. And honestly, I owe her a lot for this project for sure. She's been totally awesome. And I don't know, to my mother, obviously, she's always super, super supportive. To the Bone Zone, everybody in the Bone Zone's always supportive. Everybody that supports me online. Definitely a special shout out to all my inspirations, all the Japanese horror game creators out there. You guys are awesome and super creative, and I always, always enjoy playing through your works. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, that has been an episode of Mind Games Winter, I guess. It's kind So this is kind of a mid-season. We take a break between the normal seasons, and then I have this little month or so where I just do Mind Games Winter, I guess. So,
Nice. It's spicy.
It's spicy, but also it's cool.
It's cool, yeah. It's cool. Spicy, it's cool.
That nice, fluffy, snowy aesthetic. It's great.
That beautiful aftertaste.
I don't know what your favorite gum is, but my favorite gum is 5-Cobalt, and it's just like, it's that feeling.
Ooh, it's that. That cool, slightly tingly
refreshing.
Feel.
Refreshing, exactly.
There you go.
You can follow Mind Games on Twitter at MindGamesSSB. You can follow me, Prem Thadamkara. Just look it up on Twitter. It's easy. you'll find me. You can look up Asterion. It's easier. Follow Bonesaw at Bonesaw577 on Instagram as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's Bonesaw577 everywhere.
And if you follow the channel, please hit subscribe on whatever podcast service you use. This has been Mind Games Winter with Bonesaw577.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. It was great to be able to talk about Haunt and to fucking deal with Craig.
Damn it, Craig.